Yo, this the legendary Cocaine, and you're checking out The Library with Tim Einenkel on www.rapstation.com.
From the Cribs to the Coliseum Bobble. Oh, it's so, so funny. This kid named Money was oh so broke. He began taking dope. Yeah, the cream of the crop.
Just like when you create a list of the most well-rounded artists in the game today, the name Cocaine has to either be at the top of it or near the top of it. He's a producer, MC, CEO of his own label, and his music influences are his father, Motown legend Jerry B. Long Sr., Rick James, George Clinton, Rakim, Chuck D., and Bob Marley. And you could hear all of them and their respective genres on each of his albums. His latest album is called King of G-Funk. He's the legendary Cocaine, and I want to welcome him to the library again on rapstation.com. Welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I appreciate that. Big ups to you, the library, Chuck D. Man, it's a blessing.
First off, I was watching the Cocaine Presents King of G-Funk documentary, and you talk about the music you listened to growing up, and you mentioned how funk and the Parliament Records had a huge impression on you. And then I realized, I've never asked you this, so why did you go into hip-hop? Why didn't you go into funk?
Well, it was a big pot of gumbo. We got to realize, you know, hip-hop been here for really like over 40-something years.
Right.
And being exposed to all that good music, soul music, and, you know, hip hop when it was first coming around, it just had an impact on me because it evolved, you know, from the soul music. You gotta realize Muhammad Ali was rhyming.
Right.
Blowfly was rhyming. You know what I'm saying? So it was inevitable for hip hop to be a spinoff of soul music and funk music. Being exposed to that, it was just very impactful, and it was a blessing to be able to listen to all those genres of music, man, like a big pot of gumbo, you know, Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc, you know, and then going and listening to Bootsy and George. I mean, that, in my humble opinion, the 70s was really like a beautiful decade to be able to be seasoned by good music.
I guess, what do you think of overall about this? I mean, talk about music and the state of it. What, I mean, just before we get into the album, what do you think about the overall state of music? You know, there's always the good times, the bad times. But do you think we're kind of out of that, the quote-unquote bad times of music?
Well, now it's really starting to go back to substance.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what made hip-hop. Hip-hop was made on battling, of course. You know, don't take the battling out of it, but don't go to the extremes of gun violence. That's
right.
Where we messed up. So now it's coming back to substance because the people has to have a revolt. You know, when it comes to corporate greed and different things, they don't care how these young kids perpetuate negativity and not even have some type of balance. But when we were growing up in the and from the 70s to the early, you know, some of the 2000s, it was always articulated substance. It was the reason why NWA said F the police. But you can look years later and nothing changed. In fact, it got worse. The country is more divided now.
Right.
So good music lasts forever. And it's like when you quantum leap back into those times, I think that music is with substance is really starting to be back on the forefront again. And it's a perfect time because it goes back to timing. You know what I'm saying? There are things that are going on in the world that, you know, back in those 90s and 80s and era where the music matched the sign of the time.
Right.
Now, when you look back 5 years ago from 2016, you know, it was just a bunch of perpetuate ignorance. Mm. And this at the same time, there's a music business. So I don't knock anybody for their hustle. If that's the way you get down, whether you talk about a pimp record, whether you talk about a gangster record, that's not what I'm saying. But back when we were growing up, you know, you can hear a sexual healing record from Marvin Gaye and then turn around and hear some music with substance, like what's going on.
Right, right.
Well, now it's slowly starting to rebound and get back to the point to where music has substance in it. and real good music. You just can't pick up an auto tune. Instrumentation is coming back on the forefront. So I'm happy to be able to be in a position, you know, coming from the West Side, and being that you know, I've been blessed enough to be around this long and have my influence on all kind of records. To go back to the timing part, music with substance is coming back. So I think the state of hip hop is at a good place right now for people that really want to go ahead and initiate what's going on in the streets, what's going on in the hoods, what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world. So, oh man, I got two thumbs up for that, and all hope and prayer is that we continue to put out this good music with substance and to have a lasting effect demographically on the whole world again, because it's time.
I think, and your new album, King of G-Funk, I think what you just talked about, you do perfectly, and the track Holla, but then you also do it, and then you, it's one of those tracks where, so Holla, you take on social issues, and then the Hello, the other track, was a reintroduction of yourself to your audience as an artist and as a person. First, can you talk about creating these two tracks, and then also how do you, as an artist, how do you decide when are you going to attack social issues in your music, versus, you know, tell a story about, you know, a guy who gets snitched on, or talk about yourself? How do you decide that?
Right. Well, my music is basically my testimony, and you know, I've been married, like I said, always celebrated wife for 30 years, and I got 8 kids by the same woman. In this music business, you have to have some type of God structure or family-orientated structure, because there's so much of illusion, and it's hit the hands, and there's different other things that want to swindle you in and take away your God-given talent to revert your attention to just total negativity. And it's like, now when you hear the song on my album, Hello World, it's reintroduction, that funk sound, that soul sound again. Because when you think about it, soul music is a reflection of the sign of the times. Young kids in the ghetto not having it, dreaming big but not having no outlets. Mm. And when I did Hello World, it's telling the whole world that here's a guy that dares to go against what's popular right now. You know, because everybody is like, everybody's a D-boy. Yeah. Everybody's popping pills. Everybody's doing this, and I'm telling them through my music, Hello World, we reintroducing the music that helped kids grow up when it was struggle. And it's just letting everybody know the embodiment of that particular sound came from the source that's a living legend right now. So it's after doing so many features, you know, it's time for me to move from that underrated stage to the popular forefront. And it goes back to timing again. Mm. You know, and when you hear songs like Holla, which was produced by Mary Wells' son, Meek, he's a Motown baby, who did a lot of platinum hits with Snoop. You know, we wanted to reflect on the social ills, what's going on in today's society. And one of the ways that we can inspire and influence people is giving them out those good music and messages, and dare to be different, and dare not think just because I'm talking about something positive, it's not going to get on the radio. I didn't make those particular songs to say, well, somebody who like trap might don't like it in Atlanta. I made this music for the people, and that's where King of G-Funk is expressive. Mm-hmm. It's more of a people's champ album as opposed to traditionally following, oh, you got to check the sound scan, you got to check for this people did all night. No, I went back to my independence, and praise God for the independence that I can finally make songs for the people to help them through their times. And it's going back to this. I'd rather follow my campaign like Bernie Sanders and get it from the people as opposed to getting it to the super PAC. Turn it.
One thing I really like about the album, I mean, I like a lot of things about the album, but one thing I really like, I like the song They're Trying to Kill Us, and I also like the video that accompanies it. I mean, it, you know, it shows the hardships and social injustices in America. And then at the beginning of the video, you have the Seattle chairman of the new Black Panther Party talking, and there's calling for black empowerment. How do you talk to fans about black empowerment without worrying? I mean, maybe you don't even have to worry about it, but worrying about isolating, let's say, your white fans.
Well, music is there to push the limits. And going back to Curtis Mayfield, going back to Chuck D, even before then, going back to James Brown, you know, something about music transcends all color lines. And if you're real and you lead by example and it's funky, man, you too can be jet black, having a bunch of pale white people saying I'm black and I'm proud.
Right.
Because music transcends all color lines. And it allows people to get together and have some type of reparation through music. So what I wanted to do with that particular record, I wanted to go back to Curtis Mayfield. It's sad that we don't have the modern day Curtis Mayfields nowadays. Those music was impressionable on the world. So when you notice the hook that's on there, I say crooked niggas, crooked Jews, crackers got your mind confused. Now, if you were looking it on the surface, you would say, well, that's very kind of racist. But when you look in deep to it, I didn't leave nobody's name out. I said crooked niggas, crooked Jews, crackers got your mind confused. That means this. There are crooked niggas out there. There's crooked Jews out there. There's crooked white folks out there. So it eliminates the fact that I'm just shelling out one particular race or nothing, because the song wasn't meant to talk about racism or meant for racism. It was meant to spark a thought. Like, we all got to come together. This is the same type of thinking. It's this is when my Jewish brothers, our Jewish brothers, was right there on the front line with Martin Luther King as the freedom fighters. Because they were saying to themselves back then, it's crooked niggas and crooked Jews, and they might not say it in out there, but that's the type of movement they have. So what I did is go back to those elements of Curtis Mayfield, Last Poet, you know what I'm saying, and really put it out on the line, because, you know, words are powerful. And the context that I put it, it separates the positive Jews from the positive black people, from the positive Caucasian people, to the crooked, to the bad Superman, I would tell you.
Right.
So that song was really, I dare to be different. I don't care. It's a bunch of Illuminati theories running around. It's a bunch of this running around. But bottom line, it really don't matter about the color. It matters about the content of your heart. There's evil people and there's good people. So the whole song was brought about to spark things for not just us as black people and no reparation that we really don't truly have, but it's for all races to understand that it's a fight between good and evil. It don't matter what color you is.
Mm. When another thing you do with the song, not with just the message, but you take an approach to it that you're not just rhyming. You kind of do like a speech, and then that turns into you singing. Why that approach for this type of song? And then also when you're composing this, you know, song this way, can you kind of take us into your creative process here?
First of all, I do a lot of research. Mm. I'm a study lab rat when it comes to research, because I got to know what I'm talking about. And even when I research, I got to compare certain things so it can come out the truth. When you debate and compare certain things, that's when the truth comes out. So, you know, watching that movie, not the Mac, but it was Fred Is Dead, the one that Curtis Mayfield and them.
Oh, okay.
It really took me back to that essence. I said, I got to have a song to really bring back those elements of music that really was a part and crocheted into the ghetto fabric of what was going on at that time. And exactly what was going on at that time is no different than the same things that are going on in these times. So it just came about. I wrote the song. My boy West Coast Stone, who I work with a lot, and was one of the funkiest cats in the game, he shot me the beat, and it just came out perfect, man. We finished that particular song in 2 hours, man. And we sat back and said, wow, we got something powerful. We got something real powerful. And it served its purpose, man, because a lot of people, you know, starting to hit me up with that song in particular and just saying, thank you. It's just not, the coldest thing about it, it's a majority of white folks that's coming around and saying, wow, you're speaking the truth. Because sometimes we have a voice for us as you know, me being a black man, I have that type of voice. Like Chuck D had that type of voice. But we also can't forget about our white brothers and sisters that wish they could have that type of voice and wish they could say some of the things that are wrong, but just can't say it.
We're speaking with Cocaine, new album, King of G-Funk. I want to get into more tracks on the album. Another track I really like is Cocaine Presents, California Classic. I'm so California on you, blowing on that ganja. And we tipping with them T-tops, all black everything in my eye rock. I got that stupid, get hired in the mean coat, baby, here, whoop this. So gangster, the homies gon' loop this. Illa killer, Cali, do it easy, we ruthless. The chill got him on the steering wheel, skipping past the palm trees, 90 degrees and something classic. And me and Coca keep it lit, we ain't tripping off shit. They can suck my dick, cause this classic, coming straight from the left side, west side, best side, fired up. There's no place, no place like home. Where the gangsters roam. So what makes a record a California classic? Then also, why did you name talk about the creation of this record, but also why did you name the track Cocaine Presents California Classic versus California Classic?
Well, you know, it's branding purposes. You always got to think branding in this business, especially, you know, as an independent running this label and having the autonomy. It's about branding. The power of branding will get you out there demographically. So a lot of stuff on my YouTube channel, you know, I advised my team and they said it'd be very beneficial for you to start saying Cocaine Presents because, you know, when you luckily Google it up and, you know, when you check on the computer, you know, you want to make sure you had top shelf on everything. Mm. So, you know, I always put Cocaine Presents as far as the branding and putting that stamp on there. And with the Do Dirty OG's record, that was the single that I had put out. And it's a reflection and a spinoff of the group that I'm a part of, which is called the super group called Dirty OG's. And we just inked a deal, too, with RBC Records. So big ups to that. You're going to be hearing a lot about the Dirty OG's, man. They put a lot of bread and a lot of time behind us and good music. It's going to be crazy. So this was like an introduction to kill two birds with one stone. Put the California Classic out on my album, and the remix version is also on the new upcoming Dirty OG's album called We Got Now and Next. And I wanted to go ahead and have them like debut. You know, and as far as promotion and marketing, it's been working for us. So with the Dirty OG's in that particular video, California Classic, it was a perfect fit to go ahead and put that type of music out because via the NWA, Kendrick Lamar, you know, you got to do things at the right time. Sometimes you can have the right intentions, but it'd be the wrong moment.
Right.
It was a perfect time to put that out there. And the way you hear California Classic and the way you hear the tones with its live instrumentation, Rhodes, is really taking you back to that sound that really had a lasting impression on the whole world. Look who used that sound. Dr. Dre, Quick, Battle Cat, Cole 187. That really, really, really made the whole world drop their jaws. So it was time for me to go back to those elements and really, really reintroduce it. And I did it with California Classic. We did the video and Sunset, Shut Down Sunset. I mean, even the police was cool because, Pete, we did not have no permit. Ah, imagine that. We just did it, Johnny, on the spot. Man, it was like thousands of people that showed up. And when you hear that particular type of song, it really brings you back home to the West Coast. That is the 2016 Cali Anthem. And a lot of people on the streets is really feeling that song and thanking us at the time because, you know, our identity on the West Coast is really the G-Funk sound. When you go on the New York sound, it's the boom bap sound. When you go to the South sound, it's the trap sound. But then we got to get back to what made us, and that's the West Coast G-Funk sound. It's like, you know, it was a trip going back to New York 5 years ago. New York radio didn't even sound like New York radio. It sounded like the South.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you talk about a region that had an effect on the whole world, it can't be one way. We got to be able to mix it up like a pot of gumbo. And that from which we come from the West Coast, it had a lot of impact as far as fashion, as far as cultures is concerned. I mean, I can go over there to New York and see how the influence is. I can go to some parts of the world and see how the influence is. So California Classic is a representation of something that was long forgot about, but now is back on the hunt. And when you hear it, it say it best. Ain't no place like home, where the gangsters roam and roll on chrome. This is us. This is California Classic. We the dirty OGs.
Yeah, it's one of those records that you've done this many times when I listen to your albums, but it's definitely one of those records where I wish I was from California just so I could pump that out. Another great track on the album is Murder in Kingston, and that takes on a reggae vibe. For you, what role and influence has reggae music played in your personal life and as an artist?
Oh, big influence. I mean, first of all, my grandfather was from Kingston, Jamaica. He was born there. So, you know, we always have that islander type of approach. And if you hear my first record, I was always incorporating reggae and patois in my music in the early 90s. So, you know, it's just going back. With this record, King of G-Funk, I went back to the elements on Rufus Records. And it's like, it's saying, why fix it if it ain't broke? What goes around comes around. Now it's coming back around, man. And when you look at it, man, you know, it's a blessing, man. You know, Dre and them, 51 years old and got inducted to the Hall of Fame, man. Coming from this side. Who would ever thought, man? So it's like, you got to understand, you can't reinvent the wheel. But ain't no substitution for good. If it's good, it's good. You look at disco. Disco came into the 70s, in the 70s. But it was a passing fad because it wasn't nothing crocheted to the sign of the times. Music has to match what's going on in the world. That's what has a lasting impression. All these things are going to come and go. But look at George Clinton, Ron Isley, all these cats. That's crazy, man. They're still around. They're still worldwide figures because of the soul music, because of the substance that they had in their stuff. And that's where we are. You know, it's come back around to where you got to raise the bar. You can't just auto-tune your way out of existence. You know what I'm saying? You have to go ahead and really take it to the stage and give it your all so that way the people can not only just be entertained, but inspired.
You just mentioned George Clinton, and George Clinton's featured on the album as well on the track Diplomatic. Fuck around. It's that Oyagun Mafia. Let me tell you the story right quick, y'all. How about on a nigga one time, which one of you niggas trying to speak your mind? I ain't one of these busters to let it slide. Find out you a
and cents. You gon' die tonight. I put my burner to this nigga named Freddy. Did you snitch on me, cuz?
Because someone that, you know, obviously has inspired you. And what is it like for you to work with him now? And then also, was there ever moments for you just like you're in studio with him and you just kind of sit back and just watch and kind of forget that, you know, watch as a fan versus watching as an artist?
Man, it's hard to reserve myself around them. You know, it is so hard because you grew up on these and they were like UFOs literally coming out the sky, you know, and something that has an impact on you, man. Every time I'm around those cats, you know, I do my best to be reserved, but I'm a fan, man. It doesn't matter. If I sell a billion records from here on out, I will always follow protocol and respect my elders. They are the elders. The baddest thing about it, this generation is taught not to respect your elders and find out where the information comes from, because if you respect the past, you know where you're going in the future. A lot of these kids like McDonald's instead of a slow-cooked meal. And every time I'm dealing with Bootsy or icons like that and George Clinton, man, I'm going back to that slow-cooked meal with total respect. Like, this is the reason why black music and hip-hop and transcended all color lines, and I'm actually up there with these guys, and they asking me for advice.
Right.
Man, all at the end of the day, man, it's like Disneyland times 10,000.
One thing you've obviously, you've had a great career, and I think one thing that is for you is must be a blessing, a really big blessing, is that your daughter is on the album, and you know she's one of your artists, and she's featured on the track La La La. Oh, as her dad, what is it like producing her versus, I guess, if you were producing somebody that you weren't blood related to?
All due respect to the icons that's on the project. All due respect to the legends from the Exhibit, Code 187, Snoop, that's on the project. It's nothing like working back. My daughter performs with me, and, you know, question with a solid answer, I would be lying to you. All I can tell you this is that I don't even have the words to say. It is total happiness and bliss. See the apple fall off the tree and them going in the direction that I didn't force them in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just natural selection. So for me to be able to see her groomed and grow through her things and her be a young lady, she'll be 21 coming up and being serious about it, and that's all as a parent as we were. You want your kids growing up right, not getting into some of the gang violence you had got into or being a part of that, Joneses. All I can say is that God is so good to me, man. For me to see my daughter perform and step it up and practice her gift and treat it like that, it lets me know that it is such a thing as a hope, and the struggle is good for you, because she didn't have it peaches and cream. None of my family did. They were sacrificial lambs for my ups and downs in the music industry. And it's a blessing to be able to see, out of all that pressure that we've been through, my daughter has now became a diamond, because only pressure can make a diamond. And, man, it's just a blessing, man. I thank God every day to have my spirit enriched by seeing my children take the baton.
The new album is King of G-Funk. He's the legendary Cocaine, and I'm honored once again to have him on my show, The Library with Tim Einenkel, on rapstation.com. Thank you so much.
You got it, man. God bless you, and God keep you. And thanks, Tim. Big ups to The Library. You know, I'm still one of the things on my wish list, not bucket list, wish list, is to work with Chuck D, man. So make that happen. If you're listening to his Chuck, you got a long time fan. I'm ready to hook up with you. I got some hot stuff for you.